Up until now, we've been very much concerned about preventing the spread of the zoonotic disease that has now killed 40,000 people worldwide, called the coronavirus. But in the early days of the outbreak, scientists in China were looking to ecology and sociology to find the cause. But once things really kicked off, ecological and sociological factors were ousted in favour of a more simplistic story. Lachlan McPherson finds out how COVID-19 grew to be a pandemic affecting the whole world.
On New Year's Eve of 2019, Chinese health authorities confirmed and the World Health Organization announced the outbreak of a mysterious viral disease that would come to be known as COVID-19. When epidemiologists tried to trace the origin, they found a likely site, a wet market in Wuhan, and a prime suspect, the pangolin. A scaly little anteater that rolls itself into a tight ball when threatened, this mammal has long been considered a culinary delicacy and a resource for traditional medicine in Asia, Africa, and some other parts of the world. More recently, though, it has been proven to be the carrier of viruses likely picked up from bats that have a high level of similarity with the novel coronavirus. At this point of the outbreak, as with most past pandemics, ecological and sociological models were being employed to uncover the cause. People wanted answers, and these areas of research possessed the capacity to provide them. Within weeks, though, as infections rose and the disease spread to the States, Japan, South Korea, and beyond, the public mindset shifted, and people instead wanted advice. As expected, and somewhat understandably, the previously employed ecological and sociological models were promptly replaced by the awfully anthropocentric and far more simplistic contamination model, and thus the story stripped of almost all its complexity, for now at least.
Like all epidemics, I mean, we'll be wise with hindsight. We'll have a much better sense of what happened and why it happened, and how it might perhaps be prevented until the next epidemic comes along. And as I say, it's going to be a bit different. And so there won't be simple lessons from the past that we can apply.
That was Warwick Anderson, an historian and medical doctor who currently works as a professor of politics, governance and ethics at the University of Sydney. With this hindsight, he hopes that we can think about what the pandemic has revealed and how it has acted as a sort of social sampling device, laying bare structures of inequality, cultural assumptions, deficiencies in our society, and attitudes towards marginalised groups in the environment that we have not otherwise noticed.
I hope also that we return to what we were doing at the very beginning of this disease outbreak, trying to understand the emergence of the disease. That is, we turn to ecology again, and have a richer ecological understanding of the emergence of disease and the spread of disease, and not just reduce it for practical purposes just to issues of contamination, human-to-human contamination.
Consideration of the broader configuration of disease, as Professor Anderson puts it, is a process that could potentially point out some of what environmental philosopher Tom Van Duren refers to as the bigger picture causes of this pandemic. He hopes that the conversation around symptoms of novel coronavirus, a fever, dry cough, and breathing problems, can be superseded by one that acknowledges that the pandemic itself is a symptom as well, a symptom of a much larger problem that he says has emerged out of an increasingly dysfunctional relationship between humans, other animals, and the broader environment.
I think it's important to remember that we are in the midst of a really profound transformation, and that the change undergone in the last 50 years or so is one of the most significant in the history of animal life on this planet. And that's both about the mass extinction that's unfolding, in which thousands of species have been lost, but it's also about the massification of a select few species who are being mass-produced in ever greater numbers. So that three species of mammals, humans, cows and sheep, now constitute more than 10 times more of the biomass of life on the planet than all of the other wild mammals combined.
It is this destruction of biodiversity that creates the conditions for zoonotic infectious diseases to proliferate and spread.
Rather than seeing this as a kind of economic crisis and a healthcare crisis, which it obviously is both of those things, and it's going to continue to unfold in unpredictable ways, it does need to be addressed as something even bigger than that through a re-examination of our more fundamental relationships with the way we produce our food, the way we produce other resources, our impacts on the environment more generally. And that's where it ties into big issues like climate change, biodiversity loss, habitat loss, but a reminder of just how interdependent and vulnerable our social systems are.
Environmental philosopher at the University of Sydney, Tom Van Duren, ending that report by Lachlan McPherson.